kids are sometimes just a little bit too honest of a,
you're not where
the championship to Saturday, please, Darius, to the point 120, that has to roll throughout the kingdom. The three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So King Darius, after he had conquered Babylon, became the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, Darius sat on his throne and he appointed 120 administrators, people that the Bible says, they were satraps. I guess they would be people, governors. They would be mayors. I don't know, but they ruled over the people. And then there was three over them, and Daniel was one of those three men. So Daniel had a very high position before the king. And it said, that the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Daniel was one of those guys that would make sure that these other guys that were underneath, that were governing over the people and the land, were, the taxes were coming in, their people were being taken care of, and whatever else, they were held accountable to Daniel and the two others. Now, Daniel, in verse 3, so distinguished himself among his administrators and treasurers by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So, here we have Daniel. He does such a good job. It's such exceptional qualities in the way that he handled this business that it would almost be like, well, it is like Pharaoh making Joseph second in command. There would be Darius, would be the king, and Daniel would do better than he did. Talk about power. But, and Daniel, I think, is particularly leader. He's not, any time that anything happened, he never took the glory for himself. He said, the Lord gives me the interpretation of the dreams. The Lord has given me the understanding and the wisdom to work the way that I do. It's the Lord that has given me these things. It's not me. But after that, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Daniel did his job without fault. He paid his taxes. He showed up to work on time. He didn't quit too early. He didn't call 6 days. There was nothing they couldn't find against him. He was honest. He handled his business like he was working for the Lord. And he couldn't find anything because the way he found it, he couldn't find any corruption in him. And so he says, because he is trustworthy and he's neither corrupt nor negligent. And so finally he says, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They become jealous. They say, we gotta find a man, get rid of this guy. Well, he makes us held accountable for things that we don't want to be held accountable for. We don't want to do our jobs the way that the king wants us to do it. And so, and we don't want this guy, Daniel, to be over us anymore. So we're trying to find a way to get rid of him. But they can't. And so they conspire together. They go as a group to the king. And they say, oh, King Darius, live forever. You know, that's what they said in those days. I don't know if they, I'm sure it's part of it was just to butter up the king. But that's what Peter Daniel says that later on. He gives the king the respect of his and the honor of his throne. to the degree that no man or woman or person could pray to anyone except for the king himself for the next 30 days shall be thrown into the again the lion. And again, the lion was their type of execution at that time. Lions roamed the earth, roamed that area. And so they would capture them, and use them, and I tell you, that would be a pretty good I sure wouldn't want to have to face a lion. That turned TV on the shooting arrow if I had to face a lion again for punishment. And so this was the normal way at that time to have a lion stand and people be put in there for their execution. But when David heard about these things and he realized what was going on, he went. The Bible says that he, in verse 10, went to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. Whenever it seemed that whenever there was when the Jewish people would pray, they would pray towards Jerusalem, wherever they were, and Daniel being taken captive, being hauled 500 or 600 miles away to Babylon, was Jerusalem was to the west, and that was his normal spot. He would go home 3 times a day. The windows would be open, and he would get down on his knees. And he would pray. He would praise the Lord. Daniel had a regular time with the Lord. How many of us can say that we pray regularly 3 times a day, like Daniel did? No wonder Daniel was able to be who he was through the strength of the Lord. But nothing changed. He continued to do exactly what he had done before. And so then, these men that had made this put this law, presented this law before the king, they went as a group in verse 11, and they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Daniel wasn't there just praying and thanking God and saying how good it was. There was a real concern for Daniel.
you guys have jerked the team. They jerked me into writing out this foolish request that no one can break anybody else except for the king. A foolish, he must have felt he was very distressed, and he did all that he could to save him. But the people, those guys that had come up with this law, they were jealous of Daniel, and said, "Oh, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issued can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." There's that word continually. Daniel had already given the testimony of serving God continually. The king knew it. The other guys that set him up, they knew it. They just didn't like it. May your God, who you serve continually, rescue you. Can God that you serve rescue you? So someone was brought and placed over the top of the den, and the king filled it with his own sacred ring and the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed, and then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any kind of entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. The king was very distressed. A son being rolled over the mouth of the den reminds me of our Lord and Savior when he was placed in the tomb. And they placed a stone over the mouth of the tomb, and which was a noble thing to do. That was the doorway, but the people that were against Jesus, that wanted to have Jesus crucified, they made sure that he wasn't going to get out. They put a seal on that stone also. You see, nobody can steal his body. He can't get out now. He's dead. He's going to be there forever. But we don't know the power of our Lord and Savior. God knew what he did. And the Lord was resurrected on that third day, and his body was not. When they opened that tomb up, he was no longer. He wasn't there. He'd already been resurrected. And so, this king also put a stone over those guys. They said, put a stone over it, and we'll seal it, and make sure nobody comes in the middle of the night and rescue Daniel. But the poor king, he thought this was going to be the end of Daniel. But at the first cry of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near to the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the Most of the Living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, has already been able to rescue you from the lion's den or from the lions?" And Bethlehem in 23 says the king was overjoyed. So, interpret that any way you want. And gave orders to lift him out of his den, and sure enough, when they lifted him out of his den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Daniel then jumped down into the pool of lions' den, and he told, I don't know whether they call the dead in the circus, like the lion. The lion tamer, he didn't say, back you guys, and he fought them all night. No! The Lord is the Lord. Angel, and he closes the mouth of the lions, and I've seen pictures Bible pictures of this nice scene with the lions all cuddled, with Daniel laying with the lions and all cuddled up, and that's like a thing, true. Just like that, where they're just like little pussy cats. And prison, and Daniel just had the best night of sleep in his whole life. Their lives, I don't know. They might have been, their mouths might have been closed, and they might have been circling him all night long. Boy, I just wanted to get my hands on this guy. He sure looks good. I don't know, but all it says in the Bible that the angel of the Lord closed the mouth of the lion, and Daniel was sick. You've been rescued. And after that, they've got the king's command. The men who falsely accused Daniel were brought in, and they were thrown into the lion's den. Sadly, along with their wives and their children. In these words, they reached the floor of the den. The lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. His lives were not his. The Lord had truly shut their mouths. And so we can think about these men and doing what they had done. It reminded me of their wives being punished and their children also, which is a sad thing. But, you know, we as a people are associated with the people that we hang around with. We go to work and we do our thing, but it's what we do. It's those that we congregate with after work. It's those how we do our work. I learned a lesson when I was in school that I tell kids all the time that you have to be careful with those that you hang around with. After school, there was a sidewalk that kind of went downhill, and these kids that sometimes I hang out with had this rock that, and they were using it as a bowling ball and rolling it down the sidewalk. And you think, and here comes the principal, Mrs. Brown. So, I can't remember my friend's name. So, you guys come to the office. And I was behind the wall, and I hadn't done anything. Except, I was kind of been seeing what's hanging around with these kids. And I jumped up on the wall, and I looked over, and she said, and you too, Greg, get in the office. So, there I went to the office for kids' class. Be careful of those that we hang around with. Those that, because they will drag us down. Or they will lift us up. And so King Darius wrote to all the people and the nations and the men of every language throughout the land that he ruled over. He says, I issue a decree that, he says, may you prosper greatly. He we should have reverence for him. Was it not from Daniel and his lifestyle? And following him, being faithful, and doing what is right? Yes, Daniel was a testimony before the king. He continued, says, for he, God, is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and miracles. He signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and into the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius recognized the fact that God was the one and only true living God. They worshiped many gods in those days, and they were the God of the sun, they were the God of the moon, they were the God of fertility, they were the God of this God and that God. But not one of them, they were all gods that were carved out of a piece of wood or a stone or shaped out of gold or silver or something. And it's that God that they worship fell down. That God would just take their problems down and let somebody pick it up. It never could either would hear or listen or provide for anybody. But God, the true God, the God that Daniel worships, the God that we worship, is the living God. Endures forever. He's the same. Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And he too rescued us. He may not have to rescue us from the lion's den, but he does rescue us from the lion, therefore, as real lions. As you go to the book of the lion's den, that's your own fault. But sometimes work is a lion's den. Sometimes at home is a lion's den. Think about changes that we can make in our own families, our own community, in our work, when we are found trustworthy, when we do our work, when we conduct ourselves like Daniel did, by his exceptional qualities, not doing life just good enough to get it done, but doing it well. God rescues us also from our sins. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And only by God's power city, wherever it was, whether in prison or he shared the gospel with the guards. He shared the gospel with you with four kings and governors. Saul, Paul, given Paul was, though eventually killed by the sword for his faith. And he continues. He says, the Lord, he says, I was delivered from the lion's mouth, and verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, always on this earth he serves faithfully to the Lord, and the Lord brought him through, and when it was his time to the Lord would take him. Nothing was going to happen to Paul before it was his time. Just like anybody else, even us. Nothing's going to happen to us without the Lord allowing it to happen, and we will be with him. He will be with us here on this earth until that time that he takes us home to be with him. Daniel, he gives us comfort. Paul understood this plainly, and he preached this. And he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Daniel, I sure thought, is this going to be the time when I'm going to meet the Lord? And he was thrown into the lion's den. Not yet. Daniel was saved from that to continue in his ministry and his serving the king and the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us and your continued work in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us that follow you, that we would, if we have to, Lord, that we would resolve to continue following you. We would be devoted. We would continue living our life for you faithfully. Lord, I say, pray too, if there's anyone here today that has not come to the Lord and has not followed the Lord, that today would be that day of salvation. Or may your Spirit work in our lives even now. Thank you that you have a prime priest on the list. And in Jesus' name, for a day we trust in you, as Daniel did.